And welcome to another episode of Cover 3 Athletics Podcast. On this episode today, we will be previewing the Whippeal Girls Volleyball Brackets. There are four classifications in the Whippeal for volleyball, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. The playoff brackets were just released on Saturday, and the first playoff games will begin on Monday as Class 2A and 3A will get things going, while Class 1A and 4A will start its tournament on Tuesday. So, girls volleyball. Every single year, I feel like volleyball continues to be more popular. I feel like the exposure and the media attention continues to increase every single year. And I think we're going to have a very special playoffs this year, as with the idea that there are a lot of good teams. I mean, but I think, especially in class 1A, 2A, 3A, I think it could be a bloodbath, because I really don't think like there's just that one team, but that's just how I feel. So let's get started with 1A. Nick, tell me what you expect from 1A this year, with Sarah Catholic being the number one seed.
So I agree with your point that I think classes 1A, 2A, 3A are, I mean, I don't want to say wide open necessarily, but you know, there are a handful of teams that each could make a serious push to win it. So let's start with Class 1A. So obviously looking at the bracket, Sarah Catholic, the one seed on this side. Let me just pull it up here. So I'll see 15-1 overall. I mean, they were good from the get-go. And you kind of look at the SWPA volleyball rankings that they had for their top, like their top 5, top 10 throughout the year. And honestly, 1A was pretty consistent. How they had Sarah, Frazier, GCC, Mapletown, and Camden in the top 5 there, and there really wasn't much change or even fluctuation between those 5. Then you kind of see the Union, Leechburg, Carleton, Carmichael's, for the most part being the same places in the rankings throughout the year too. So it's kind of like 1A, you have your cream of the crop with like Sarah, Frazier, GCC, and Camden, and then you have some really good teams that are, you know, right up there and worthy of making a push, like Mapletown, Union, and Leechburg. But honestly, the headliner, you know, you got to look at Canavan. I mean, they've won 5 straight 1A titles. They've been to 10 straight 1A title games. But honestly, the crazy part for them was this year they come in only 2 out of 12 returning starters. Eva Goodberg, Gabang, my apologies, and Kiara Gablonski were kind of the two stars of the team. Of course, Canavan, still a phenomenal year, going 13-4. I mean, they had some crazy win streaks this year that came to an end, unfortunately. But, I mean, 13-4, 11-1 in the conference to win another conference title. They're kind of pesky looking at the 5 seed. I mean, they're kind of sitting at, you know, 5. You kind of may overlook them, but I think, if anything, they're right there to make another run. They have the experience. They have the tradition. They have the expectation. I mean, they start off with the 12 seed Beaver County Christian. They should go take care of that Tuesday night. And then they either get 4 seed Union, which is the most likely outcome, or 13 seed Troy Houston in the quarterfinals. Again, Union's had a very good season in their own rights. I mean, and they're kind of under the tail. Union, 12-0 in Section 1, 16-0 on the year coming into this game. I mean, they got 9 seniors on the team. So they're a deep squad, and they have experience too. So, I mean, that could be a big-time quarterfinal, Union and Canavan. And then whoever makes it to the semis, you know, you look at the top of that bracket. Sarah's the one seed, obviously. Burgettstown is there. And then Carleton and Carmichael's at the 8-9 matchup. Of course, Carleton coming out of Canavan's section. Second-place team, 15-3 overall. So real quick about Carmichael's is, I mean, they could be a dangerous 9 seed. And Carmichael's went 9-5 in a very tough Section 2, because you look at Section 2 real quick. Frazier 18-0, won it, going 14-0. Mapletown 16-2, only losing 2 Frazier twice. And then you have Carmichael's coming in 9-5 on the year. So a very tough section there. So the Lady Mikes could be a dark horse to try to make a push and really bust this bracket. And then flipping over, of course, to the right side of the bracket, Frazier gets the 2 seed. And they got the Harpin sisters, Jensen and Grayson, leading the way. Braylon Salisbury, another one. So they got a big trio. They're undefeated. And watch out for Frazier. I mean, you look at, I mean, Trinity Christian should not be much issue for them on Tuesday. And then Leechburg, Western Beaver on that side of the bracket. Western Beaver, you know, has been a top 10 team pretty much all year long, as well as Leechburg. That should be a very good first round matchup. And either one could be an upset, but I think Fraser should be fine looking big picture wise. And then, I mean, potentially semifinals, you could have GCC. Maybe Mapletown gets past the Centurions to get their courses. GCC is Kayla DeSac leading them. They've had a very good year as well. But ultimately, I think, you know, again, like you look at, you know, Sarah, Union, Canavan, GCC, Mapletown, Fraser, I think all have legit chances not just to make the final, but to win the whole thing.
Yeah, so from my perspective on 1A, Bishop Canavan being the number 5 seed, I mean, that just, I didn't say that would shock me, but I guess with the idea that the way that committees work sometimes, like, I'm just surprised that they didn't give them a higher seed, just with the idea of how much success they've had for, like, since I started high school in, like, 2015, and then ever since then, I mean, that school has just been a Whippeel dominant volleyball team. So I'm surprised they get the 5th seed there. I mean, it kind of maybe works out, I guess, maybe better, because I don't think they have a problem at all beating Beaver County Christian. And I know Union's been good and all, and I figured they were going to be good because I had interviewed their players during our volleyball media day, and they seemed like they knew that they can improve, and they definitely did get in the number 4 seed. But now I think Union's biggest test is going to be, assuming they don't lose to Chartiers Houston, if you can beat Bishop Canavan. And I think from what I've been saying so far in the past couple of minutes, that I've just been talking about Bishop Canavan, because no matter how many starters they lost from last year, this is a team that continues to rebuild, and the players that they have now, they're going to continue to be better even next year, even if they don't win it all. But I'm just saying that I expect this team to go somewhat far, just because the idea that when you have the experience and when you have the coaching staff to get to where you're at, like, it's really hard to pick against them. But them, I expect them and Sarah Catholic really to be in the Final Four, and that should just be a treat too, because anything private school, any private school competition, especially Sarah Catholic and Bishop Canavan, should be pretty interesting. But another thing that we gotta another thing we have to factor too is the idea that, especially for the first round of these games, every single game except the Fraser Trinity Christian game is at a neutral site. So you think about it, Sarah Catholic, Burgettstown is at Thomas Jefferson, Carlington Carmichael's at Bethel Park, Union, Chartiers Houston at Seneca Valley, Bishop Canavan Beaver County Christian matchups at Thomas Jefferson as well, Leechburg Western Beaver matchups at Shaler, Greensburg Central Catholic West Green matchups at Penn Trafford, Mapletown Ian Christian Academy matchup is at Peters Township. And you might be saying, well, whoever's the better team is just going to win, right? And I totally agree with that too. But something else you got to keep in mind is the atmosphere and the environment. Say, for example, like, let's just say the Mapletown Ian Christian Academy game. It's at Peters Township. Mapletown's number 6. Ian Christian Academy's number 11. But if you have a bunch of Ian Christian Academy students and staff and faculty and parents showing up, that can get Ian Christian Academy more hyped up, while Mapletown might be looking at themselves like, well, where's our students and our fans at? Because the idea that they just wanted to travel more. Now, obviously, when you're looking at that location, it should probably... Actually, I don't know. I think maybe for both schools, it would probably be the same amount of drive. I would just, if I had a guess, I would say Mapletown's closer to Peters Township, but maybe not. But I'm just saying, with the idea that all I'm trying to say is, though, is that even though there are the higher seeds in this classification, where they were placed in the where they're supposed to play their first round games could make an impact, just because the idea of who wants to travel more and who wants their team to win more. Now, obviously, you got to have talent and skill, though. But as you know, Nick, and I think any of these athletes, no matter what sports you play, that are listening to this, that Student sections, environments, they matter. When you have a whole community supporting you and wanting you to win, that's going to make yourself want to play even more, no matter how talented or untalented you are. Your desire and willingness to win just increases.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's a really good point about neutral sites, because, I mean, sometimes, as we all know who follow, you know, District 7 here in Pennsylvania, sometimes neutral sites aren't as so neutral, so that definitely can have an impact. So I agree with you. I mean, so I guess let's just look at on who are picks? Who are we looking at kind of making the run?
I have to pick Bishop Kahneman until they truly lose. But if it's not Bishop Kahneman, I would go out on a, I would say probably, I'm going to say Union or Leechburg could be one of those dark horse teams.
I like that. I mean, I like that because it's in Union's a deep team, 9 seniors. And then, Sarah, you know, you got the Trahan sisters. So, I mean, I think, honestly, I'm kind of going to go with Kahneman until proven otherwise, too. But if it's not Kahneman, I like the Union Scotties as a dark horse to surprise people and make the final.
If Union beats Bishop, say they beat Chargers Houston, then they will play Bishop Kahneman in the quarterfinals. If Union somehow beats Bishop Kahneman, I think they'll win in the semifinals too. And there's always a turning point, not just in a team, but there's always a turning point in a program in which if you're able to beat one really good team that has been good for years, that's going to somehow make you better. And that's going to make the younger players too that might not have played for the team that were upset. It's just, you're just going to think to yourself and it's just going to be like, oh, well, we were able to do this, so we might as well do it again and so on and so forth. So if Union can somehow beat Bishop Kahneman, you could probably beat any other team.
I mean, I think I'll say Frazier is my pick at the end of the day to win it all, though.
Huh.
I think I'm going Frazier. I mean, I think Kahneman or Union comes out of the left side, but I think Frazier is the undefeated 2 seed, gets through their side of the bracket, which won't be easy, but I think they do, and I think in the final they'll find a way. So I'm going to stamp them as my pick.
Man, I couldn't think of the last time Frazier has won a Whippy on anything, but it wouldn't be something if they were able to do it in volleyball. Wait, say that again?
Frazier's softball team had a couple runs when Logan Harmon was the star pitcher for them.
Yeah. That's something else I got to pay more attention to is low-class softball, so. But yeah, for volleyball, I mean, just what Bishop Kahneman and these other schools have been able to do. If Frazier could pull off something, I mean, that would be good for them as well. You have a lot of credit Carleton too, though. I mean, they're the 8th seed. I mean, they're rivals with Bishop Kahneman. I mean, they finished in that conference 10-2. They got the 8th seed, and they played heavy. They battled and played heavy contested volleyball against Carleton, from what I read from the 2 times they played each other. So
it's always a rivalry.
All right. So with that in mind, I think Bishop Kahneman wins, and you think Frazier's gonna win. So now let's move on to 2A and the 2A class. So for the 2A class, North Catholic. No, not North Catholic. That's the wrong bracket. Why am I looking at the girls' soccer bracket? Why am I doing that? All right, here we go. The 2A girls volleyball bracket. The number 1 seed is the Freeport Yellow Jackets. Number 2, Shenango. Number 3, Avonworth. Number 4, Central Valley. That's your top 4. The class 2A bracket begins tomorrow, and there's a lot of whatchamacall. It's not first. I'll just call it a first-round game. Yeah, we'll call it first-round games, yeah. I mean, you got the games that are going to be played tomorrow are Burrow, I should phrase it as 21 Fort Cherry versus 12 Burrell, 20 Bentworth versus 13 Deer Lakes, Number 19, St. LaSalle versus 14, Derry. Number 18, Hopewell versus number 15, Southmoreland. And number 17, Olsch versus number 16, Waynesburg Central. I mean, I look at this bracket right off the top, and Freeport, I mean, defending champs, right?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it's kind of like Freeport or anyone in a way. I mean, the Yellow Jackets, I have some notes. 18 straight section titles, which is absolutely insane. And Cassidy Dell, Ava Solaz leading the team. I mean, this year, I mean, they're cruising along as you would expect. If I just want to double check before I say it. Yes, 16-2, undefeated in the conference again. So some might say it's Freeport of the field. And you look at throughout the rankings year long in 2A, I mean, Freeport has been the top team all year long. And then you've had Averitt, Shenango basically take turns being second and third right behind them. But then in the last couple of weeks, Central Valley has kind of got themselves into fourth in the rankings. Quaker Valley has been up there all year long. So has Beaver. And then but the team that's kind of jumping out to me is Neshannock. They started preseason number four. And then throughout the month of September, they were the number four team till the end of the month. They fell down the rankings a little bit to seventh, and they finished ninth. But the reason for that was Marion Haggerty was injured. She just returned at the end of section play. It actually helped them beat Shenango to take away the Wildcats' bid for an undefeated season. So I guess kind of looking at the bracket as a whole here for 2A. And the playing games, first round games, I've heard the term pigtail games being thrown around for these playing games. It's kind of cool. I guess it would apply to girls soccer too. So that's kind of cool if they call them the pigtail games. But this bracket's insane. I mean, you have 21 teams. I mean, looking at those pigtail games, I mean, you have Burroughs, the 12 seed, Deer Lakes as the 13 seed. Both coming out of that section 5 where Freeport won. Of course, Burroughs 12-4 in the year, Derry 11-5. Honestly, having to beat each other up and go against the Yellow Jackets twice each. So not easy. So honestly, look at both those teams. I like both of them as sleepers and dark horse teams just because tough section, tough conference, maybe a little bit undervalued a little bit in seeding-wise. And look at, I mean, assuming Burrell could beat Fort Cherry, they would play Quaker Valley. That'd be a good first-round matchup. As Quaker Valley's 5-seed, Quaker Valley is 15-3 in their own right. I mean, and not to discredit, Section 4 in 2A had the Lady Quakers go 11-3 in the conference, 15-3 overall. Central Valley was one game better at 14-3 overall. And then Averworth, who won the conference, 13-1 in conference play, 13-3 overall. So this was a tough conference, too. So I think really that would be a heck of a first-round 5-12 matchup. And then when you know Central Valley, Deer Lakes, assuming it plays out, could be their first round game. So literally in that bottom left corner, Central Valley, potentially Deer Lakes is their opponent, and Quaker Valley potentially hosting Burrell would be those two first round games. Talk about two bangers in that bottom of the bracket. Top side, an 8-9 matchup that honestly is pretty intriguing. Brownsville's the 8 seed. You have Sierra Williams, Skylar Durnst leading them, and I mean the Falcons, I think kind of been forgotten but overlooked a little bit in 2A this year. At times they've been in the top 10 SWPA. They didn't finish there, but they've been around. Just give me a second, okay. And then looking at Browns real quick, 17-1 in the year, 15-1 in the conference, took care of their business. So you really can't fault them for taking care of it. But again, you wonder, you know, how tough was competition in the section? Maybe that's why I got the 8 seed as a section champion. Of course, Neshannock, on the other hand. First of all, the Lady Lancer sport teams the last year and a half, 2 years, have been off the charts with what they've been doing. So the good vibes perhaps shall continue on the volleyball court in the next couple weeks. They finished third in section 1, 11-4 overall. But, of course, they're a little bit banged up. But Marion Haggerty, she's back to lead them. You have the younger Nogay, Erlen, you have, and then Katie to Katie Domenica. I mean, so you look at them, I mean, the 11-4 probably much more talented and better than what the record showcases. So they could be dangerous. And then you look at the one seed Freeport, with Yellow Jackets on top, as you'd expect them to be. They will play the winner of the Waynesburg-Olsch pigtail game, which again, you know, Olsch and Waynesburg, two solid teams, but I think Freeport, the heavy trades there. But I'm just saying, I mean, Freeport, before we just put them into the final, like, is easy to do when they earn the right. Not so fast, because you got some teams on this side that can definitely muck it up a little bit and make this a really crazy bracket, or at the very least give the Yellow Jackets everything they can handle if they are going to make it back to the final. Right side of the bracket, Chenang with the two seed. They will play the winner of Southmoreland and Hopewell. Again, the Scotties, you know, have had a very good season in their own right out of Section 3, going 13-6 behind Bronzeville and Bentworth, a game up on Waynesburg. Hopewell, on the other hand, 8-8, gets in out of that Section 4 behind Olsch and then Avoy, Central Valley, Quaker Valley. So, again, I think it'll be a good pigtail game, but I think the end of Chenango, who, other than the Section finale that Neshanuk took from them in a thrilling match, ran through and defeated their 13-1. I like the Wildcats to survive regardless. South Park of Laurel, that'll be a nice little toss-up. But Laurel, 13-5 out of the same section, I like them to be able to get a rematch with the Wildcats in a quarterfinal. And then, I mean, Beaver and Bremen, I like Beaver to move on in the 6-11 game. Abworth, 3-seed, awaits the winner of Derry, Seed LaSalle. Seed LaSalle is seed in 19th. You're saying, okay, who cares? What's the point? But not so fast. The Rebels were semifinalists in 2021. You never know. Maybe they're a case to be a little bit of a dark horse, one upset, or maybe put a scares. They are 9-8 on the year, won 9 conference games. Okay, so back to what we were saying before the cutoff. So Seton LaSalle is a 19th seed. So fast from a year ago, it could be dangerous. But, I mean, I look at this side of the bracket. I mean, it's hard not to like Avoworth, who's led by Sam Blow, Sophie Curley, up there. But Chenango is the 2-seed. You know, they lost their finale. How do they come off that? I mean, I think it might be more of a wake-up call that they kind of just lock back in. And Chenango, I mean, you look at the team. They got Kylie Rubin, Emily Fedorizic leading the way. So I think ultimately the 2A bracket, I think these 5 pigtail games are going to have 4, if not 5, good matches. I honestly think the left side is going to be filled with thrillers. I am picking Freeport to make the final. I think it'll be challenging and I'll have to work for it because that's just how deep that side is. Right side of the bracket, I like Chenango. I like them to make the final. But Avoworth, they'll be right there with them. And honestly, I mean, it won't be easy. And like I said, Seton LaSalle could be a dark horse that comes out of nowhere, catches fire at the right time. They could, I mean, you know, then you look at the 15-18, Southmoreland. I mean, maybe they can give a little scare into it. Because Chenango said they were 13-0, they lost the finale to a good Neshanuk team. So how do you respond? This is just Southmoreland coming in. They play tomorrow night, Monday, in the pigtail game. And then Wednesday night's the first round game. If Southmoreland wins, you never know. I think I'm gonna be boring. I'll pick Freeport to win this title. Consistency matters, and they are the standard. But I think this bracket will be very entertaining, though.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of good games in this as well. I agree. But once again, it's just for me, it's Freeport's just so loaded. I mean, they just have a whole lot of athletes that play other sports besides volleyball too, like Cassidy Dell, someone else you got to keep in mind, and Sydney Selker too. She's pretty good, especially what she did last year during playoff time. Like, I don't see why she couldn't perform as high of a level this year in the playoffs like she did last year. But I think the team that comes out the right side is Avonworth. I think Avonworth right now, what they're doing athletically, it's something so special that no one talks about. So in their first round game, which is going to be on Wednesday, they'll play the winner of the Derry Seton LaSalle game. If Seton LaSalle somehow wins that game, Seton LaSalle versus Avonworth, that's going to be a game that I feel like Avonworth will win, but they're going to put in everything that they have in order to win this game. Avonworth and Seton LaSalle, that rivalry involving all sports, football, basketball, soccer, I mean, that rivalry is starting to become more entertaining. As crazy as that might sound, I mean, it shouldn't be crazy, even though One's a private school, one's a public school, one's on the south side, one's on the south part of Pittsburgh, one's north of Pittsburgh, but that rivalry continues to be good. But it's just Avonworth, I mean, they made the final last year too. And which what we've seen in their sports, I mean, maybe this is just me liking Avonworth, I don't know, but you think about their softball team last year winning Whippeels in state. You think of their baseball team. The baseball team was loaded with talent last year, but they just couldn't win it all. Basketball team, pretty good as well. They got a future star in Roman Carmichael. Avonworth's girls basketball team's good. They got some swimmers too. I don't know if they're if overall they got a good swimming team, but they got good individual swimmers. Their soccer teams, men, boy soccer, has some good players too. Girls soccer team won Whippeels last year, made states. I mean, it's just when you see one team doing well, another team wants to do better. But in this case for Avonworth,
amen to that.
When one team does well, it really does have a domino effect on every single team. And you think of Avonworth's volleyball team, I mean, you think to yourself, oh, the boys team made the finals last year. I mean, girls soccer did what they did. Softball did what they did. They had some state swimmers. They had some state championship swimmers, not like last year, but in the past as well. And I think Avonworth volleyball, I mean, I think this is a time for them to kick it up a notch. I mean, I think they'll make the final no matter what. But I feel like if they want to get to a different level, they got to beat Freeport. I think they'll give Freeport a good competition. But I think Freeport just wins it as of right now, just based off because of their height and their athleticism and their experience, though. But that's really a team I'm really looking out for. And on the left side of the bracket, Quaker Valley, Central Valley, if that's truly the semifinal matchup, I mean, not the semifinal matchup, the quarterfinal matchup, that's just going to be interesting, too, just because of the idea of how close those schools are. And I should definitely mention South Park, too, 14-0 in the conference champs. I mean, the fact that they were number four, they were 14-0 and somehow got a 7th seed, that's kind of disrespectful, but they could give Shenango a run for their money, too. I mean, Shenango's high school girls, just like all the other teams South Park has played, why can't they beat them, too? I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, this is high school, too. Keep this in mind. This is not like professional sports, and it's kind of easy to bet on. High schoolers, I mean, they're like 14 to 18 years old. Like, they're still thinking about what their futures and lives can be. It's not like professional players in which they're 25, 26, in which they think to themselves, or no, this is where I'm at in my life. Like, I just got to see how long I continue playing. No, these high schoolers, I mean, it's easy to get in their heads. I mean, it's easy to contact them and say something stupid to them because they don't really think of blocking, like, yeah, everyday fan like professional athletes do. So just the idea that this is all a mental part too. And while Freeport, Shenango, Avonworth are all good, let's see if any of these other teams, of these lower seed teams that aren't being respected or aren't being favored or teams that we're not really talking about a lot, we'll see if they can mentally affect or just outplay any of these higher seeds.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, another solid point. I mean, that's kind of where experience comes into play, I think. It's kind of if you've been there and you have the mentality and the culture around the school, let alone the individual program, I think it kind of makes a huge difference, especially this time of year.
So we both say that Freeport, I guess what I'm trying to say is, so do we both think that Freeport's going to win this as of right now?
I think so, but I think so, and I feel pretty confident, but I feel also confident saying it's more of a respect to the competition that I don't think Freeport's just going to cruise through their side of the bracket and be staying in the final without much test. I think first round quarterfinals, regardless who they play, I mean, yeah, I think the first round, I mean, obviously, is the ones you expect them to have trouble, and I think that'll be the case. But, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit tight, you know, in terms of having to fight through to win 3-0 versus an easy sweep of 3-0 for the match. Like I said, I do think Central Valley, Quaker Valley on that side have a chance, or if somebody upsets them. Like I said, Burl, Deer Lakes, who've seen Freeport twice. I mean, all it takes is Burl or Deer Lakes that have a good pigtail game, win, get in, bracket of 16, pull off the upset against quality competition, and then get another crack at Freeport. I mean, the saying is sometimes it's hard to beat someone twice, if not three times, in the same season. Like I said, I'm picking Freeport. I'm not trying to discredit them because they're very good program, got a very good team, got some absolute studs. But it just before we just start saying Freeport versus the field or it's going to be Freeport, who cares? This bracket could be really interesting and provide, even if it is, you know, top seeds move on and on paper it doesn't look as dramatic, it may be dramatic to get there, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree as well.
If you're not a top seed or the team that's having to get through the dramatics, it's a good thing for it to be dramatics.
All right, so with that in mind, let's move on to the 3A bracket. 3A, the number one seed is the defending Whippoorland State champions, North Catholic Trojans. Number two is the Hampton Talbots. Number three, Greater Latrobe, led by star players Lily Fennin and Emma Blair. And number four, Thomas Jefferson. Number five, Montour. Number six, Mars. Number seven, Armstrong. Number eight, Moon. Where's my number nine seed on this bracket? Number nine, Albert Gallatin. Number 10, South Fayette. I mean, you got a lot of seeds in this bracket, too. And North Catholic being number one, I mean, some people might be intimidated. But North Catholic, I'm just saying this right now. Before I say they'll beat whoever they'll have to play on Wednesday, if it's either Gateway or Laurel Highlands. But I think Moon beats Albert Gallatin. Before I have you, Nick, say your thoughts, I think if North Catholic wants to repeat that, if they got to play Moon in that quarterfinals, that is the most dangerous quarterfinals that North Catholic could ever face. Because if North Catholic can somehow beat Moon, I think they could easily repeat. But it is not good whatsoever, the idea that the committee decided to give North Catholic and Moon a potential match in the quarterfinals. Because Moon is really good. They come from 4A down to 3A. I mean, and Moon was pretty good too, winning their conference as well, with a conference record of, oh no, they didn't win their conference, my apologies. They were 8-4, actually.
They were close, though.
They were close, yeah. Montour actually won the conference. I forgot about that. But for the longest time, Moon was leading that conference. And then at the end of September, beginning of October, started struggling. And Montour just found a way to get the wins when they needed to. But I'm just saying that I think Moon's really good, and no matter what their conference record is, 8-4, whatever, this is a team that I feel like should be respected, as crazy as that sounds. Moving down, I mean, I'll say more about what I think on the other side. So what do you think of 3A?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, North Catholic, I mean, rightfully so.
They got like at least three Division One potential. I think it's two or three Division One.
Well, I mean, a little bit. I mean, North Catholic just, you know, no biggie, won two state titles in three of the last 3 years in 2A, so no biggie on that. Sarcasm. Sidney Jones, Alec Fesco, I mean, leading this team. I mean, 15-1 in the year, 12-0 in the conference. You know, the kind of your point back on Moon, I mean, it was kind of like, I mean, more of like a soccer term, but the group of death in a way for Section 2 in Class 3A, because, I mean, Montour, 11-4, Trinity, South Fayette, both 10-5. Moon 9-5, Montour 9-3 in conference play. The latter all 8-4. So I mean, Moon very well could have won the conference, and based by tiebreak, so what you would call it, they technically came in fourth. I mean, so and I think the fact you, I mean, if you look at it, they came in fourth of their conference, they were seeded eighth. So I mean, South Fayette got 10. I'm also seeing Montour, the conference champs, got the 5 seed. And then Trinity got the 11th seed. So, I mean, obviously, so, I mean, the Whippoorland committee respected when Moon's body work was enough. But obviously, I see where it comes from close. And then Oakland Catholic was 7-5 in that conference, 2-8-8. So, really a tough, I mean, really a hard conference to come out of. So, I like your point that North Catholic, yes, should be the one seed, should be the fair on above all favorites. You know, but I mean, Moon, can definitely give them a run for it and make things a little more stressful than what the Trojanettes would like. And a potential quarterfinal, of course, Iowa Gallatin, the 9 seed. Certainly no slouches on their own. I'm just trying to get this up real quick so I don't misspeak. I mean, they're 13-3 in the year, 11-3 in their conference, so certainly capable. But kind of like you said, though, just a little bit feeling about Moon there that can kind of, you know, if they get past the first round, could be a dangerous team on the left side of the bracket. I mean, the bottom portion, TJ, the 4 seed, won their conference. 15-1, heading out the Lady Colonials there. And you got Montour, where's the group of death, waiting the winner of Plum and Uniontown, the pigtail game, to see who they'll face in round one. Of course, Plum, you know, I mean, 12 seed, some feel they got slighted because you look at section one, Plum went 12-3 in the year, 10-2 and losing to Hampton. And of course, Hampton's 18-0 on the other side of the bracket. So some feel Plum got slighted. I could kind of make a case for that as well. I mean, me and Nottingburg and Bologna, Danica Sesko, they got the big three. So the Mustangs could be a dark horse as well, not just a, you know, what you feel like take care of the pigtail game on Monday, but to potentially give Montour a heck of a test to maybe even pull an upset off in the 5-12 game. I mean, you know what they say, 12 seeds are always dangerous. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the 12 seed Plum Mustangs make a push and kind of surprise people and kind of put a scare and maybe make a push to the semifinals. On the right side of the bracket, Hexahampton, undefeated 2 seed. I mean, they're the runners up in both the Whitbules and the States last year. Of course, this year, Avery Kuntz, Emma Ritchie, Emily Strong, I believe, her story. I apologize if I got that wrong. My writing's a little sloppy. But, you know, they got a deep team. They got the big three. Hampton's coming back looking for vengeance. And I think the Talbots make the Whitbule final. And I think either them and North Catholic put on a classic. Or if it's non-North Catholic, just maybe Moon or Plum. But I'm going to go to a limit. I'm going to say that Hampton wins the crown this year. I think the Talbots will avenge, and they'll do it in 3A. I just think this team's going to be hungry. They have enough back, and they're not going to go back-to-back years losing. But again, I think the Final Four will be throwing in this class regardless. But North Catholic 15-1, I just want to touch on that real quick. And then also Armstrong South Fayette should be a good first-round game. South Fayette, though, a little bit under the radar. I like them to pull the upset. Latrobe, like you said, has a couple studs leading the team. They will play either Blackhawk or Franklin Regional. Blackhawk comes in 9-5. I think they could be a pesky team, but I like Latrobe to move on. Mars will play. Mars will play most likely Trinity, which that could be an interesting first round game because Mars is 12-5, only losing to North Catholic in section play. I'm coming in. Of course, Trinity coming out of the group of death. They're led by Maddie Roberts. So the Hillers could pull an upset there. I mean, you could have a little bit of a crazy bomb right at the bracket. But then I think Hampton makes the final and wins over North Catholic. But I do think we could have some intrigue throughout this portion. And real quick with Gateway. I mean, how about the Gateway Gators this year? 16 seed, they play Laurel Highlands in the pigtail game. If the Gators win, they will get North Catholic in the first round. But not bad for a team that only won 2 games a year ago. This year coming up to 8-6, so kudos to them for making the playoffs.
Yeah, so as I continue to look more at this bracket, North Catholic has the talent. I really don't like how they could potentially play Moon. I think Thomas Jefferson is really, really good. And I think if you look back, like 4 years from now, say it's the year 2027 or whatever, or whenever that whole team goes on to college, I think if you think about where a lot of these players on these teams could be successful in volleyball after high school, I think Thomas Jefferson has the team no matter where they go to school. They got the Tara twin sisters, and I mean, I was doing more research after I saw how many of them came to our volleyball media day, and just the teams they beat. I mean, this team's good, and they know how to take care of business. I mean, I guess their section wasn't the hardest at all. Connellsville, Belvern, and Elizabeth Ford, Uniontown, Laurel Highlands, Ringgold. I mean, They're okay, I guess, but I mean, Thomas Jefferson, I mean, they just took care of business when they needed to. I mean, I expect them to face some more difficult challenges in the playoffs. I mean, they played the 13-20 winner. I mean, if you got to play Indiana and you got to play Katie Kovalchik, Abby Huey, and Julia Runge, and like that Indiana team, I mean, they have some good players too that didn't show up to the media day either, but like 7-5 in that conference, and you, for Indiana, I mean, they have to play a pick game, piglet game, or whatever that is, Nick. But the idea that they're in the same conference as Latrobe and Armstrong, and you're playing, and say if you beat Woodland Hills, you got to play against the Thomas Jefferson team. That really, they got some talented athletes, but they didn't really have a hard section. Like, that could be pretty good too. So you could see Indiana potentially. I'm just saying that Indiana could go farther than people think. Hampton's good and all. I mean, Armstrong, South Bay, I think that's going to be a really good game as well. Latrobe, I mean, Latrobe's really talented too. I wish more of their players showed up to our media day as well because of how not just talented they are at volleyball, but how athletic they are as well. And Mars is kind of that sleeper team that no one talks about, and I think it's going to take for them one of their players in the future to become like a stud in order to really get the recognition and credit that they deserve. But I think these matchups are going to be interesting too. And I think everyone is going after North Catholic no matter what. And I think Moon's already thinking about North Catholic before Albert Gallatin, to be honest with you. But either way, I don't see North Catholic doing this again. I mean, I really don't. I mean, they move up. I mean, the competition's obviously harder. I mean, everyone's coming after them. I mean, I'm just going to say this now. I think North Catholic gets upset in the quarterfinal round. I think Moon somehow beats them. And if that location is closer to Moon than North Catholic somehow, I don't think it's even a question. And Montour, I think Montour beats the winner of Plum Uniontown, whoever they have to face, because they just have some athletes as well. And Montour's girls volleyball, they're really popular. They're really easy to root for. And why do I say that? Because they got a really good following on social media. And I think a lot of people, even from outside Montour, would show up to wherever they play, whether it's against Plum or Uniontown, because they're just very likable. But I guess left side of the bracket, I'm really just examining this game by game now. I say Moon beats North Catholic. That means Moon would play winner of Thomas Jefferson, Indiana, Montour, Plum. I think Plum beats Uniontown. And those four that I said, the last four teams that I said, bottom left side of the bracket, that's going to be really good. I think maybe somehow Thomas Jefferson wins. I was talking about how good Indiana could be. I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana makes the quarterfinals, though. I feel like Thomas Jefferson just has a lot of experience. Them versus Moon in the potential semifinals, I think Thomas Jefferson just finds a way. Because everyone talks about a lot of other TJ sports, but I think Thomas Jefferson volleyball could potentially make the final. And I like what you said. I think Hampton-Latrobe, I think Hampton-Latrobe see each other in the semifinals, and that's going to be a classic heartbreaker. And I think whichever team loses that game could really make a deep, deep run in the state playoffs. But either way, I'm just going to go on a limb, and I'm just going to say that Greater Latrobe wins this thing. I think they just have a lot of athletes as well. Lily Fennin, I mean, something about her and that Latrobe team is just very athletic, but something that she's had, there's always, like, that one player, too, that just, like, makes a whole difference. And the idea that you're a Latrobe and you can say that you have a volleyball commit going to Notre Dame, it makes you feel good about yourself, and you just trust her. And I think that's what Latrobe has done, and trust in her. And I think they win the whole thing in the Whitfield. I don't think they'll win states. I don't think they will. I think one of these teams that doesn't win the Whitfield that is qualified for the states will make a state run and potentially playing a state championship game. And even if North Catholic somehow does beat Moon, I don't think they'll go past the semifinals. I really don't. I just feel like North Catholic's target's on their back. If they're listening to this, I hope this motivates them to continue to want to repeat. But
I like it.
I really hope. I hope Allie, I hope Sydney Jones and all of them, I hope they're listening to this. But would I be surprised if they go back-to-back Whipples and States? Probably not. The talent and experience is there. But I think the aggressiveness and attack by every other team in the Whipple, I think teams are more hungry to go after North Catholic than North Catholic is hungry to win back to back. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've no question that North Catholic is working their butts off every day as well to repeat though. But I really, if I had to put money on it, I would say that every single team wants to beat them even more than North Catholic wants to go back to back. Crazy as that sounds.
I mean, I like that. I like the take. I like it. It makes sense to me.
All right. So, who'd you think? Oh, yeah, Hampton. That's right. That's right. I was just going on a spiel on how much I think that one of these teams is really going to upset North Catholic. So, yeah, so, and now the final classification that we will talk about in this episode is the Class 4A bracket. Ooh. And I don't want to – this is the highest classification. But I think out of all four – it's playoffs always interesting, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I guess I'm just gonna start for a couple of minutes. I really think right off the bat it's just gonna be North Allegheny Pine Richmond Whipple final. These other matchups can maybe be interesting, but whenever like the matchups that don't feature North Allegheny and Pine Richmond, I think they can be really good. Like these first round matchups though. But the winner of Bethel Park, Norwin, whoever plays North Allegheny, I don't think that's going to be fun at all. Same thing with Shaler and Upper St. Clair. Whoever wins that, I don't think that's going to be fun when playing Pine Richland. That's the point I'm trying to say. I'm just going to say pick my winner now. I'm just going to say North Allegheny. Pine Richland is going to give NA a more competitive matchup compared to their first two, and which was pretty competitive himself. But I think North Allegheny just has a lot of talent and just has that upper hand on Pine Richland. Pine Richland's very talented as well. I feel like if they were in Class 3A, I feel like they could win the whole thing. But the idea that they're playing against North Allegheny in 4A, that's just not good. I mean, it's just unfortunately, but who knows if Pine Richland, if they just have some sort of spark in game to be North Allegheny, that'd be pretty cool. But this is North Allegheny's to lose, and if they don't win a Whipple, it'd be a disappointment. If they win Whipples and don't win States, that's going to be a disappointment. They have that type of motto in which they got to be on top in every single sport, and that's what it's like when you are attending the biggest high school in the Whipple. That's why it's championship or bust. And I think North Allegheny's not going to bust, at least this time, especially when you got like Mia Tubman, Caroline Kern, and some other players on that team as well. I mean, these other matchups that don't feature North Allegheny Pine Richland could be pretty talented, but whoever before the championship game, I don't think this is going to be really that interesting.
The way 4A is it's NA versus the field. I mean, that's kind of how the culture has been across the Whipple. It is what it is. NA's got an incredible girls' volleyball program. Give them credit. I mean, Ella Peter, Mia Tooman, Caroline Kerr, all big-time players. NA's 16, they're one seed. I mean, yeah, we look on paper. I mean, I think they've won five out of the last six Whipple titles. A couple state runs, if not titles in there. I apologize if I butchered that stat.
I think they might have won six Whipple championships in a row. I think they're going after seven. I think that's what that is.
Something like that. Six in a row, five out of six, something like that. Let's talk about what else can happen. Let's get a little juicy here. I mean, so you look at the left side of the bracket where NA is seeded as the one seed. They await the winner of the 89 game, Bethel Park and Norwin squaring at it. Bethel Park, they got third place, 11-5. in their conference. Norwin, on the other hand, 5-10. Norwin has 9 seniors, so a disappointing year, I'd say, for them, based on that. You know, if I look at these SWPA rankings, I mean, Bethel Park started the year 5th, and they've kind of fluctuated between 4th and 5th throughout this 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th throughout the season. But the last couple of weeks, Bethel Park has made a push. They've made a push a little bit to be solid. And I don't know. I'm not picking up 6 of them. My pick's NA. That's my pick to win it. Bethel Park, just maybe, if they have a good first-round game, they get there, you know, what the hey. Bottom of the bracket, the 4-13 matchup, Penn Trafford hosts Butler. They were able to get to the top 10 early in the season. They were there for a couple weeks. They fell out of the rankings. 6-10 overall, 1-7 at the conference. Of course, the section one is NAA Pirates and Seneca Valley, the top 3 seeds respectfully. So definitely, you could say the group of death in a way, and it's class 4A. So, I mean, could the Lady Tornado pull an upset in the, I apologize, I clicked the wrong tab. In the first round, I mean, sure, big picture-wise, are they going to, I mean, you know, you never know. Because if they pull an upset on Penn Trafford, they get the 5-12 game, which features their conference foe, North Hills. Kane and Mack, of course, in there as well. I look at that as a 5-seed. Kane and Mack's 11-5, 9-1 in Section 2. Penn Trafford won Section 3, going 9-5, 7-1. So, two solid clubs. I mean, so you expect Penn Trafford and Kane and Mack to both be able to win. But at the same time, you look at Butler as a 13 seed, North Hills as a 12 seed, and they both came out of the group of death. You never know. I mean, you could have either of the lower seeds pull an upset round one, get to the quarterfinals. And just maybe a crazy scenario, you see Butler and North Hills both upset, square off, and somebody gets to the semifinals and see a name for a third time. Or I'm not saying that it would be anything different, but you just never know. And who knows, maybe Penn Trafford, conference champ in their own right, they ousted the mighty Shaler Titan program to do that. Just maybe the Warriors can be for real, can make a push, you know, and just maybe. On the right side of the bracket, Pirates in the 2 seed, and looking at them, not very much deserved. I mean, they're 13-2, both losses coming to the Tigers. In Section 1, part of that, they've been just dandy. I mean, they were led by Kaylee Doctor. So, again, a deep team. We get the bye into the courts, which they'll host on Thursday. Who do they play? Shaler hosts Upper St. Clair. USC had to win and had Baldwin lose to get in. Those things happen. Now, USC gets in with 5 wins. On the other hand, Shaler, normally very good. They'll be first-year head coach. Hillary Quinn got hurt early in the year, so that was a huge loss for them. But a pair of McKenzies, Mackenzie Bear, Mackenzie Miller, have kind of taken leadership for the Titans, who are 8-6, 6-2 in the conference. So Shaler, you know, they're used to make it far. I believe it's who any beat in the title game last year. So the Shaler Titans could be a dark horse to kind of shake this bracket a little bit on the right side. And the bottom portion, Seneca Valley, Baldwin, 4-9 fading. I don't think they have a chance against the Raiders, who went 10-4. Other than losing to the Rams and Tigers, they've been perfect. So you pretty much could pencil them into the quarterfinals, in my opinion. And then Pierce Township, Hemfield. Hemfield comes in on Section 3, 6-10, 3-5. They're the 4th place team out of that conference. But then you have Pierce Township, 12-4, 9-1 in Section 2. And Pierce Township won the conference first time in 10 years they won a conference title. So, I like the Indians there. Just a lot of momentum, a lot of good things this season. I like them to be able to push it. They got a couple studs as well leading them. So, at the end of the day, I think the bomb, right, we can confidently say it's going to be Seneca Valley and Pierce Township in a quarterfinal. And honestly, you know, Pierce Township could make a push and make the semis. And you never know. If you do see potentially a PR Seneca rematch in the semifinals, but don't count Shaler here. So I think the right side has a little more intrigue. I'm going to shake it up. I'm going to say Seneca Valley finds a way to get to the final. But I do like NA to win 6A, of course. I mean, I'm sorry, 4A. 4A, because we're talking girls volleyball. And I'm really one more thing. But Penn Trafford, I'm going to give them more credit and respect coming into the season. Kane and Mack was actually ranked 3rd preseason, and they quickly fell to the bottom of the SWPA rankings. They've kind of worked their way back into them. And I get through their rankings, but it's kind of generates me. So K-Mac ended the season as the number five team in the power rankings. So I don't want to look over K-Mac or Penn Trafford either in that bottom left side. Well, Penn Trafford as well didn't start the season ranked, and they've steadily climbed up to be fifth or sixth, and they've kind of held that. So I think both those teams could definitely are more than capable of making a semifinal run. So I guess to kind of intrigue, we're both on NA. We're both pretty confident that the Tigers do it again in the Whitfield. But if it's not going to be NA, I'm going to say it's Penn Trafford that pulls it off on the left side of the bracket. And honestly, I'm picking Seneca Valley to make the final on the right side.
Very interesting take there. Well, I think what we can all agree on is that there are four powerhouses. I'm just going to say powerhouses just because of the status that they've all had. But with North Allegheny and the success they've had in 4A, and North Catholic and the success they've had, whichever classification they're in, Freeport and the success they've had too, and Bishop Canavan winning all those titles as well, I think each classification, there's a target. It's just one target team, and it's North Allegheny, North Catholic, Freeport, Bishop Canavan. It's not really theirs to lose, but I think something that they might not think this, but I think there's a lot of pressure on them, on all four of those teams, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. I think all four of those teams just simply have a target on their back, and they just got to beat the field and show everyone why they're the target for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I like that take. And, of course, I'm kind of the overall look real quick. I mean, 1A with Sarah Catholic being the one seed, you feel like the Eagles got to feel a little disrespected. I mean, a lot of talk being made about Canavan, and rightfully so. And I do think 1A, there's, like I said, there's four or five teams at the top that really have a great shot at winning it all, and there's another couple teams that can be a dark horse and make the final and win it too. So I think Sarah's got to feel a little slighted as the one seed kind of beat over, kind of jammed with all that, and being about, like you said, Canavan. But I do agree with you. Like, Freeport is clearly the top, is top top dog in 2A. NA is Demers the field clearly in 1A. In 4A. And about that, in 4A, you know, yeah, I don't think it's disrespectful at all, because, I mean, NA's proven. I mean, they've won how many Whitfield titles in the last so many years? I mean, they're consistently good. They're undefeated. I mean, so it's kind of like, you know, until someone finally beats them. And I heard a crazy stat that, I mean, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I believe NA has not even lost a game in match play this season, excluding tournaments, of course. But even that might be induced too. But so if that's accurate, think about that. Best of five games you play for a match, your 16-0 match record. And as long as I heard it right, they've not lost a single game. Meaning they've won every match 3-0. That's insanity right there. If I'm right and it's accurate, that's insane. And that's why you could say NA versus the field and have no guilt about it. But then back to your point, 3A, when North Catholic is the one seed, yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, maybe the fact that they made the move from 2A to 3A, we're a little bit like, you know what, it's 3A, you know. But I think it's more of a case of just there's a lot of talent and teams around them in 3A versus being kind of a, oh, they moved up a class. You know, I think it's much more there's a lot of talent. Like you said about Latrobe, I'm on Hampton. And North Carolina very well going the whole thing and just toss the boat, shut up. It is what it is. But I think, honestly, kind of like we said to start, like 1A, 2A, and 3A, it is play out like you expect the two with the seeds. It'd be kind of like, okay, the one seed's won, or it's a 1-2 with DD. But I think it's gonna be a lot more drama involved to get there if you don't let alone see some upsets. 4A, you know, we'll see. I mean, I was stretching to kind of make this interesting and kind of make it a case, because you still got to play the game regardless. But that's kind of my wrap up for these volleyball playoffs.
Yeah, that's all I have to say too. I think this it's playoff time. No matter what happens, playoffs are always a different animal. Everything's always different. There's going to be a big upset in somewhere along the line. I mean, this is why we're interested in high school sports, because the idea that this is an opportunity that you have a chance once, maybe in 4 years, and we're going to see which of these teams can make memories this October, November that are going to last a lifetime. So for everyone here, thank you for listening to our Cover 3 Athletics Volleyball Playoff Preview Show. We appreciate you all listening, and we hope to see a lot of you guys at the games this postseason. So thanks so much, and let's have a great playoffs.